Chapter 148. Comprising the final exit of Mr. Jingle and Job Trotter, with a great morning of business in Gray's Inn Square concluding with a double knock at Mr. Perker's door, when Arabella, after some gentle preparation and many assurances that there was not the least occasion for being low-spirited, was at length made acquainted by Mr. Pickwick with the unsatisfactory result of his visit to Birmingham, she burst into tears, and sobbing aloud, lamented in moving terms that she should have been the unhappy cause of any estrangement between a father and his son. "My dear girl," said Mr. Pickwick kindly, "it is no fault of yours. It was impossible to foresee that the old gentleman would be so strongly prepossessed against his son's marriage, you know. I am sure," added Mr. Pickwick, glancing at her pretty face, "he can have very little idea of the pleasure he denies himself." "Oh, my dear Mr. Pickwick," said Arabella, "what shall we do if he continues to be angry with us? Why, wait patiently, my dear, until he thinks better of it," replied Mr. Pickwick cheerfully. "But, dear Mr. Pickwick, what is to become of Nathaniel if his father withdraws his assistance?" Urged Arabella. "In that case, my love," rejoined Mr. Pickwick, "I will venture to prophesy that he will find some other friend who will not be backward in helping him to start in the world." The significance of this reply was not so well disguised by Mr. Pickwick, but that Arabella understood it. So, throwing her arms round his neck, and kissing him affectionately, she sobbed louder than before. Come, said Mr. Pickwick, taking her hand, "we will wait here a few days longer, and see whether he writes, or takes any other notice of your husband's communication. If not, I have thought of half a dozen plans, any one of which would make you happy at once. There, my dear, there." With these words, Mr. Pickwick gently pressed Arabella's hand, and bade her dry her eyes, and not distress her husband. Upon which, Arabella, who was one of the best little creatures alive, put her handkerchief in her reticule, and by the time Mr. Winkle joined them, exhibited in full luster the same beaming smiles and sparkling eyes that had originally captivated him. "This is a distressing predicament for these young people," thought Mr. Pickwick, as he dressed himself next morning. "I'll walk up to Perker's and consult him about the matter." As Mr. Pickwick was further prompted to betake himself to Gray's Inn Square by an anxious desire to come to a pecuniary settlement with the kind-hearted little attorney without further delay, he made a hurried breakfast, and executed his intention so speedily that 10 o'clock had not struck when he reached Gray's Inn. It still wanted 10 minutes to the hour when he had ascended the staircase on which Perker's chambers were. The clerks had not arrived yet, and he beguiled the time by looking out of the staircase window. The healthy light of a fine October morning made even the dingy old houses brighten up a little, some of the moldy windows actually looking almost cheerful as the sun's rays gleamed upon them. Clerk after clerk hastened into the square by one or other of the entrances, and looking up at the hall clock, accelerated or decreased his rate of walking according to the time at which his office hours nominally commenced, the half-past 9 o'clock people suddenly becoming very brisk, and the 10 o'clock gentlemen falling into a pace of most aristocratic slowness. The clock struck 10, and clerks poured in faster than ever, each one in a greater perspiration than his predecessor. The noise of unlocking and opening doors echoed, and re-echoed on every side. Heads appeared as if by magic in every window. The porters took up their stations for the day. The slipshod laundresses hurried off. The postman ran from house to house. And the whole legal hive was in a bustle. "You're early, Mr. Pickwick," said a voice behind him. "Ah, Mr. Lowten," replied that gentleman, looking round, and recognizing his old acquaintance. "Precious warm walking, isn't it?" apostrophe apostrophe said Lotan, drawing a Brahma key from his pocket, with a small plug there, to keep the dust out. You appear to feel it so, apostrophe rejoined Mr. Pickwick, smiling at the clerk, who was literally red hot. I've come along, rather, I can tell you, apostrophe replied Lotan. It went the half hour as I came through the polygon. I'm here before him, though, so I don't mind. Apostrophe, comforting himself with this reflection, Mr. Lotan extracted the plug from the door key, having opened the door, replugged and repocketed his Brahma, and picked up the letters which the postman had dropped through the box, he ushered Mr. Pickwick into the office. Here, in the twinkling of an eye, he divested himself of his coat, put on a threadbare garment, which he took out of a desk, hung up his hat, pulled forth a few sheets of cartridge and blotting paper in alternate layers, and, sticking a pen behind his ear, rubbed his hands with an air of great satisfaction. There, you see, Mr. Pickwick, apostrophe he said, now I'm complete. I've got my office coat on, and my pad out, and let him come, as soon as he likes. You haven't got a pinch of snuff about you, have you? Apostrophe apostrophe, no, I have not, apostrophe replied Mr. Pickwick. I'm sorry for it, apostrophe said Lotan. Never mind. I'll run out presently, and get a bottle of soda. Don't I look rather queer about the eyes, Mr. Pickwick? Apostrophe apostrophe, the individual appealed to, surveyed Mr. Lotan's eyes from a distance, and expressed his opinion that no unusual queerness was perceptible in those features. I'm glad of it, apostrophe said Lotan. We were keeping it up pretty tolerably at the stump last night, and I'm rather out of sorts this morning. Perker's been about that business of yours, by the by. Apostrophe, what business? Apostrophe apostrophe inquired Mr. Pickwick. Apostrophe Mrs. Bartle's costs? Apostrophe, no, I don't mean that, apostrophe replied Mr. Lotan. About getting that customer, that we paid the 10 shillings in the pound to the bill discounter for, on your account to get him out of the fleet, you know about getting him to Demerara. Apostrophe, oh, Mr. Jingle, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick hastily. Yes. Well? Apostrophe, well, it's all arranged, apostrophe said Lotan, mending his pen. The agent at Liverpool said he had been obliged to you many times, when you were in business, and he would be glad to take him on your recommendation. Apostrophe, that's well, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick. I am delighted to hear it. Apostrophe, but I say, apostrophe resumed Lotan, scraping the back of the pen preparatory to making a fresh split, what a soft chap that other is. Apostrophe, apostrophe, which other? Apostrophe, apostrophe, why, that servant, or friend, or whatever he is, you know, Trotter. Apostrophe, ah. Apostrophe, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, with a smile. I always thought him the reverse. Apostrophe, well, and so did I, from what little I saw of him, apostrophe replied Lotan, it only shows how one may be deceived. What do you think of his going to Demerara to? Apostrophe, apostrophe, what? And giving up what was offered him here? Apostrophe exclaimed Mr. Pickwick. Treating Perker's offer of 18 bob a week, and a rise, if he behaved himself, like dirt, apostrophe replied Lotan. He said he must go along with the other one, and so they persuaded Perker to write again, and they've got him something on the same estate, not near so good, Perker says, as a convict would get in New South Wales, if he appeared at his trial in a new suit of clothes. Apostrophe, foolish fellow, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, with glistening eyes. Foolish fellow. Apostrophe, oh, it's worse than foolish. It's downright sneaking, you know, apostrophe replied Lotan, nibbing the pen with a contemptuous face. He says that he's the only friend he ever had, and he's attached to him, and all that. Friendship's a very good thing in its way. We are all very friendly and comfortable at the stump, for instance, over our grog, where every man pays for himself. But damn hurting yourself for anybody else, you know. No man should have more than two attachments, the first to number one, and the second to the ladies. That's what I say, ha, ha. Apostrophe Mr. Lotan concluded with a loud laugh, half in jocularity, and half in derision, which was prematurely cut short by the sound of Perker's footsteps on the stairs, at the first approach of which, he vaulted on his stool with an agility most remarkable, and rode intensely. The greeting between Mr. Pickwick and his professional advisor was warm and cordial. The client was scarcely ensconced in the attorney's armchair, however, when a knock was heard at the door, and a voice inquired whether Mr. Perker was within. Hark! Apostrophe apostrophe said Perker, that's one of our vagabond friends Jingle himself, my dear sir. Will you see him? Apostrophe, what do you think? Apostrophe apostrophe inquired Mr. Pickwick, hesitating. Yes, I think you had better. Here, you sir, what's your name? Walk in, will you? Apostrophe apostrophe, in compliance with this unceremonious invitation, Jingle and Job walked into the room, but, seeing Mr. Pickwick, stopped short in some confusion. Well, apostrophe said Perker, don't you know that gentleman? Apostrophe, good reason to, apostrophe replied Mr. Jingle, stepping forward. Apostrophe Mr. Pickwick deepest obligations life preserver made a man of me, you shall never repent it, sir. Apostrophe, I am happy to hear you say so, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick. You look much better. Apostrophe, thanks to you, sir, great change majesty's fleet unwholesome place very, apostrophe said Jingle, shaking his head. He was decently and cleanly dressed, and so was Job, who stood bolt upright behind him, staring at Mr. Pickwick with a visage of iron. When do they go to Liverpool? Apostrophe apostrophe inquired Mr. Pickwick, half aside to Perker. This evening, sir, at 7 o'clock, apostrophe said Job, taking one step forward. By the heavy coach from the city, sir. Apostrophe, are your places taken? Apostrophe apostrophe, they are, sir, apostrophe replied Job. You have fully made up your mind to go? Apostrophe apostrophe, I have, sir, apostrophe answered Job. With regard to such an outfit as was indispensable for Jingle, apostrophe said Perker, addressing Mr. Pickwick aloud. I have taken upon myself to make an arrangement for the deduction of a small sum from his quarterly salary, which, being made only for 1 year, and regularly remitted, will provide for that expense. I entirely disapprove of your doing anything for him, my dear sir, which is not dependent on his own exertions and good conduct. Apostrophe, certainly, apostrophe interposed Jingle, with great firmness. Clear head man of the world quite right perfectly. Apostrophe, by compounding with his creditor, releasing his clothes from the pawnbrokers, relieving him in prison, and paying for his passage, apostrophe continued Perker, without noticing Jingle's observation, you have already lost upwards of £50. Apostrophe, not lost, apostrophe said Jingle hastily, pay it all stick to business cash up every farthing. Yellow fever, perhaps can't help that, if not apostrophe here Mr. Jingle paused, and striking the crown of his hat with great violence, passed his hand over his eyes, and sat down. He means to say, apostrophe said Job, advancing a few paces, that if he is not carried off by the fever, he will pay the money back again. If he lives, he will, Mr. Pickwick. I will see it done. I know he will, sir, apostrophe said Job, with energy. I could undertake to swear it. Apostrophe, well, well, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, who had been bestowing a score or two of frowns upon Perker, to stop his summary of benefits conferred, which the little attorney obstinately disregarded. You must be careful, not to play any more desperate cricket matches, Mr. Jingle, or to renew your acquaintance with Sir Thomas Blazo, and I have little doubt of your preserving your health. Apostrophe, Mr. Jingle smiled at this sally, but looked rather foolish notwithstanding, So Mr. Pickwick changed the subject by saying, "You don't happen to know, do you, what has become of another friend of yours, a more humble one, whom I saw at Rochester? Apostrophe, apostrophe, dismal Jemmy? Apostrophe, apostrophe," inquired Jingle. "Yes. Apostrophe," Jingle shook his head. "Clever rascal, queer fellow, hoaxing genius, Job's brother. Apostrophe, Job's brother. Apostrophe, apostrophe," exclaimed Mr. Pickwick. "Well, now I look at him closely, there is a likeness. Apostrophe, we were always considered like each other, sir," apostrophe said Job, with a cunning look just lurking in the corners of his eyes, "only I was really of a serious nature, and he never was. He emigrated to America, sir, in consequence of being too much sought after here, to be comfortable, and has never been heard of since. Apostrophe, that accounts for my not having received the page from the Romance of Real Life, which he promised me one morning, when he appeared to be contemplating suicide on Rochester Bridge, I suppose," apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, smiling. "I need not inquire whether his dismal behavior was natural or assumed." "Apostrophe, he could assume anything, sir," apostrophe said Job. "You may consider yourself very fortunate in having escaped him so easily. On intimate terms he would have been even a more dangerous acquaintance than apostrophe." Job looked at Jingle, hesitated, and finally added, than myself even. "Apostrophe, a hopeful family yours, Mr. Trotter," apostrophe said Perker, sealing a letter which he had just finished writing. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.